We have had a string of several female testimonies in a row, and tonight we are breaking that streak. We're going to have a male testimony tonight. Let's hear it for the dudes.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Hey, next week is our last week. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that just so you know what to expect, because some of you have parents or other people in your life who have done adult regeneration, and there's some expectations. So here's how our celebration goes is you'll come and so you can get excited and look forward to this. We are going to have Krispy Kreme donuts for you just to celebrate with something sweet. Then we're going to briefly do an overview of all of the steps towards healing, and it will be quick, and then you're going to go right into your classrooms. And in your classrooms, you'll spend about half an hour, so that will be about 3 minutes, if there's 10 of you in there, for you each to share the testimony that you have written out, your own testimony that is in your Go and Share lessons. So you want to make sure you get all the way to that footprint and do that so you're prepared. And then you'll celebrate each other, you'll encourage each other in things that you've seen God do in each other's lives during the semester, and you'll get a little a token to commemorate your completion of this program, a gift that you can take away. So you don't want to miss it, because you must be present to win. And then as a group, you'll decide one or two people that will share their testimony that they just shared with the small group right here in this room with everybody, and we'll come down and the last about 40 minutes we'll all be in here together, and we'll get to hear stories of what God did from other groups that you haven't been able to be a part of, and you'll get to share your testimony, or many of you will up here, and we'll just celebrate what happens when you do keep walking the steps towards healing. So that is next week. A few of you have asked, like, well, can I have like a guest come? That's totally fine. If we all had a bunch of guests, obviously it'd be overcrowded. But if you have someone you really want to come, why don't you just tell them to come at 7? And we probably won't be back down here till like 7:15, but 7 would be safe. And that way they can be here for the large group time. But we're not going to have guests go upstairs for the small group time. So if you wanted to, you could, but it's not like everybody's going to do that, but it's an option if that's important to you. Cool? All right, so that's next week. It's really fun. It's a great opportunity to celebrate, and we'll tell you again next week, but we'll do this again in the fall. We'll start in August right before school starts, and we'll go through right before Thanksgiving. So if you want to go through these steps again, you're welcome to join us, or if you have friends or family members that you think would benefit from this, make sure you send them our way. Signups will start May 1. All right, I'm going to welcome to the stage our dude testimony tonight, Lucas Rambo. Lucas, come on up here. And I'm gonna pray for Lucas, and you'll get to hear what God has been teaching him and what God has done in his life. And then I'm gonna talk to you about new habits, and we'll get up to our classrooms. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you tonight, to reflect on who you are and what you've done and what happens when we trust you in faith. I pray that you would give Lucas just great peace right now and calmness, that he would be able to speak slowly and clearly in a way that all of us can understand what he's trying to communicate tonight. I pray that if there's any in this room that can connect with what he's saying, that you would allow those words to just reach into their heart and remind them of the truth that you want them to hear. I pray the same thing about what I say, that your words would get through to people's ears and to their heads and to their hearts, whatever you want to say, and then everything else would be forgotten tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab that microphone off of there, Lucas. I want to ask you a few questions. Golly, right up here. People-pleasing, pornography, and apathy. All right, I'm going to ask you guys to be courageous. I haven't done this with anybody else. People-pleasing, pornography, apathy. Raise your hand if you relate to any of those three things. Any one of them. All right, yeah. Okay, you can put your hands down. So we're all in good company here. Tonight and this week, hopefully you've been thinking about, and we're going to talk about, new habits. And so I want to ask you a question related to new habits. And we're going to talk about reading our Bible and making that a habit. We're going to talk about meeting together with other believers, and we're going to talk about keeping short accounts, like, you know, the relational unity, the forgiveness and amends, continuing to do that. Do you have any examples of how when you finished regeneration and you realize that at the root of all those things, you said there was pride, and now you're continuing to try to battle those things and the pride that causes them. How have new habits played a role in that?
Yeah. So reading the Bible every day, that was key. Just knowing what God says about just letting yourself be second and putting God before anything that you do has definitely helped. And getting reminded of that every day and reminded of God's love and what Christ did for us on the cross, that helps with new habits.
Is that something you said before anything else? Is that something you do in the morning?
Yeah.
Do you have like a set time, a place, and a plan for reading the Bible?
I do. It's when I wake up. Well, I would say first, I would wake up and right as I started to do this, make a time, place, and plan. I'd wake up and right as I wake up, I get in the Bible and then do whatever I needed to do. But I found that wasn't like, I'm not a morning person by nature, so I would not remember anything that I would read. So I ended up getting into it just kind of right after I my mind would just wake up during the day, whenever that was. And now it's just more consistent. Like I would wake up and then start my daily routine. Then I would read the Bible and then I'd go to school.
Okay. That's awesome. What about any other habits? You talked to me briefly beforehand about your small group. Describe that for everybody.
Yeah. So that just going to small group has just like put community in my life that I can lean on to help me. And a habit would be going to small group every Wednesday and just being reminded of God's people or reminded through God's people of the gospel and what Jesus does in our life and that reflected by other godly men.
So when you say the gospel, like that is in your books. If you don't know, what is it? Appendix? Somebody tell me. Which appendix has the bridge illustration? Somebody turn to it. I don't expect you to have it memorized, but I want everybody to go to that page. Appendix F on page 150. All right, everybody go there. So what he's describing is he has a group of guys he meets with every Wednesday night, and they remind each other of this central truth of the Bible. This is the foundation of Christianity, the gospel, the good news. And you guys recite that in a different way. You take turns, right? Mm-hmm. Sharing it every single week. And that's not all you do, but it's a key part of what you do every week.
Right.
Part of that habit is getting together with other believers and just reminding each other of this central truth. Have you had any ongoing experiences, last question, with forgiveness and amends and conflict resolution and keeping short accounts since you've been through Regen for Students?
Like actively, like putting those into practice after.
Just, like, have you had an opportunity to forgive someone who's hurt you since you finished?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my parents, I'd say hurt me and hurt by me with my parents.
So it's just an ongoing deal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. All right, you guys, give it up for Lucas, everybody. Thanks, Lucas. Great job. I'll take the mic. All right, y'all. Well, another chance for you guys to take notes tonight. It won't be as note heavy, but as always, if you go to the new habits section at the beginning, you're going to have a little place to take notes. And so I'd encourage you to do that because you remember what you write. Hey, let's review. Here's a goal is I try to do this almost every week. The goal would be that you guys would walk out of here and you would have these letters, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, memorized so that if you ever find yourself stuck or struggling or hurting in life, you can go back through these and realize which step you need to be walking right then or where you're at in that process. So let's just review real quick because we're coming up towards the end. The letter H, we just start off by saying help. And this is every single day we are walking. It's active and it's continuous. Walking actively and continuously. Every day we wake up and we go, help. I can't do today. I can't be perfect today. I can't fix myself today. I can't avoid the pain in the world today. I need help today. The letter E is entirely trust God. I can't handle life, but God can. So I'm going to turn to Him. I'm going to give my life to Him. I believe He's powerful. I believe He's loving. Then we're going to assess the situation. All right, there's this powerful, loving God. How have I departed from His ways? Where is there sin in my life? How has sin affected my life? How is this world broken? What is the situation I'm in right now? Then life change. What does God tell me about my situation that I'm in control of that I need to change? We also call this repentance. Because you don't just confess that life is broken and that you're broken. You look to God, you listen to Him, and you turn and you walk a different way and you take action and you make the changes that God wants to make in your life. This is where we turn to His Word, the Bible, and we discover His purpose and His plan and His guidance for our life. Then we talked about initiating reconciliation, how if we have a restored and a healthy relationship with God, then we should also have a healthy relationship with others. Because God went to great lengths to make peace with us, we go to great lengths to make peace with others by following God's plan for forgiveness and amends. And now tonight we're going to talk about the letter N, which is new habits. And this is basically taking H-E-A-L-I and just habitually doing it every single day, every single moment of every single day, over and over again, and we seek Him daily, our faith grows, and we continue walking the steps towards healing. There's two main verses where this comes from Colossians chapter 2. It's verses 6 and verses 7. This is in your book. It's up on the screen. It says, now, hopefully this is true for everyone in here, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. You believe that He is a powerful, loving God. You accepted Him as your Savior, but also the Lord, the leader of your life. You must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down deeper and deeper into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So the encouragement from God's word, this is a letter written to a church by a guy named Paul. His encouragement to them, and it's an encouragement to us, is the things that you've learned here, you must continue. And so new habits is all about continuing to live out all the things that you've learned. Now, I want to share an example of this for you that hopefully will make this a little stickier. When my wife and I had a baby, we started watching this show, and I don't know if this show is even still on. It's called The Biggest Loser. So here's what The Biggest Loser kind of deal looks like. And I think The Biggest Loser provides a great example for us tonight. Now, let me just start with this. I am not talking about your physical bodies. I'm using The Biggest Loser as a metaphor or as an example of our spiritual lives. But these people would come on this show and they would be what I would describe as morbidly overweight, meaning they were so overweight that it would affect their heart health. They would have things like diabetes and it would literally put their life at risk. And they would meet with doctors who would say that their lifespan was significantly decreased because of their obesity. And so they would come on this show because they had family and they had friends and they had responsibilities and they were going to die. And they wanted to get healthy and they wanted to heal. They had a problem that was out of control and they needed help. Does that sound familiar? That's all of us in this room. We had a problem that was killing us, maybe several problems that were killing us, and we came here to get help. So here's what happens on The Biggest Losers is they come in and then they are transformed on this show. They live in community with one another. They move into a house and they have full-time personal trainers. So here's some examples before and after of these people. Here's the first guy. This is him before. And then at the end of the show, I mean, the suit is just hanging off of him. His name was Ryan. Here's a guy named Eric. Look at this dude. He was huge. By the end of the show, he's Superman. Then we have this guy named Matt. Matt, big, lost a ton of weight. So we watched this just years ago. We're watching season after season. These are the winners of each season. And then I saw this article just a few years ago, and it was like, where are they now? So think 10 years ago, these three pictures of dramatic weight loss, and let's just call this healing, all right? And hopefully that's what many of you experienced in here this semester is, man, my life changed a lot while I was learning these things and with this group in Regeneration for Students. But this Where Are They Now article came out just a few years ago, and it revealed that almost every single winner of The Biggest Loser put their weight back on. So here's a picture of Ryan. He put his weight back on. So that was beginning, end of the show, and then today. Here's a picture of Eric. He gained back almost all of his weight. And here's a picture of Matt. Unfortunately, it's a picture of him eating. Put back on the weight, and he put his life back in danger. Now, again, guys, this isn't a message about weight gain, weight loss, or obesity. It's symbolic. Many young Christians, whenever they go through a program like this or they go to a summer camp or some sort of retreat, you experience what we in the church will call a spiritual high, where you have this transformation and you're excited about God and what God's doing in your life. You get spiritually fit or healthy for a short season, and then you get out of shape and you go back. And so today we're talking about how do you avoid falling back out of shape? You don't want to fall back into a particular sin or apathy or distraction of things, anything other than God. And so as we come close to the end of Regeneration for Students, we want to talk about sustaining what you've learned here and continuing to grow in the healing that you've experienced. So again, the letter N is new habits. We seek God daily, our faith grows, and we continue to walk the steps towards healing. So the premise is this: our lives have been broken. We know this in many ways, from other people, from the world, from ourselves, and our healing, guys, our healing is incomplete. You will not be healed at the end of next week when you come in here. Your healing is incomplete without healthy new habits. The same thing was true for The Biggest Losers. If they did not keep the habits going, if they didn't have new habits leaving the show, then they would not sustain their healthy lifestyle. Your healing that you experienced this semester in Regeneration for Students is incomplete without healthy new habits. So tonight, I just want to remind you what was in your books, and hopefully you studied it and learned it and did all your lessons, but I'm going to give you a quick reminder. These are what I believe are the three most important habits of spiritually healthy people. These are not the only habits of spiritually healthy people, but these are the three I would tell anyone to start with. Habit number one is daily Bible reading. All of us have a daily routine. We wake up, hopefully you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you put on deodorant, you comb your hair, you get dressed, you eat food at some point. All of us have daily habits to live a generally healthy life. If you don't brush your teeth and shower, you're gonna stink and your body is going to decay. If you don't eat, you're gonna starve to death. If you don't get dressed, you're going to get arrested because you can't walk around naked, all right? Every single day, we have simple habits that lead to normal, healthy living. Daily Bible reading is that. Just like you need food to sustain your life every day and eating is a normal habit, reading the Bible should be a normal habit for anyone that wants to be healthy, listen to me, on the inside. Look at what Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then there's some other scriptures in your lessons there. But we don't just live by food each day. We live, our souls live, by the word of God. And you'd be foolish to go for weeks without eating food. But how many times have you tried to make it through weeks of your life without reading the Bible? And so I want to encourage each of you to come up with a time, a place, and a plan, as I asked Lucas about, where you are reading the Bible every day. So pick your time, pick the place you're going to do it, and your plan. Here's a picture of my place. I read my Bible every morning, very early I wake up. I'm going to tell you, I have an alarm that goes off at 5:30 a.m. I don't know if that's early for you, but that's early for me. And I go out here to my kitchen table, and I make some coffee, and I have a banana and some almond butter, and I have my Bible and a journal and a cup of water. That's it. And I sit there at that table. That is my place. That is my time. And I'm doing a reading plan called Join the Journey. And I was reading Acts chapters, I think 12 through 16 today, or 13 through 16, somewhere in there, on my plan this morning, very early. And every single day, I it's like food. I eat food. I read the Bible. You don't have to do it in the morning. Some people like to, Lucas was saying, kind of get woken up. I hear a lot of students that drive will drive to school early and sit in their car before they go into school, and they'll read their Bible. That's their time, place, and plan. Some people do it in bed right before you go to sleep in the evening. It doesn't matter. But what is your time, place, and plan? Habit number one, daily Bible reading. Habit number two, if we're talking about the three most important habits of spiritually healthy people, habit number two is a commitment to community. Lucas talked about every Wednesday night he meets with a group of guys who remind him of the gospel and encourage him to grow in his faith. A commitment to community. That is meeting together regularly with other Christians. That's what I mean by community. The book of Romans, another letter written by Paul, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, says this: just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, that's the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. You are different from me. I am different from you. We are all different from one another, both in the way we look, but also in what we know, what we have experienced, how we feel, how we see the world, and what we're able to do. And so when we connect together, we make an expression of God to the world. We are like a body, and we're all different parts. And so it doesn't make sense if you belong to a body to never be around the other parts. If you cut off a finger, which I've seen someone do, if you cut off a finger, that finger dies if it doesn't get sewed back on, because it needs to be connected to the source of life. It needs to be connected to the heart through all the veins. You cut that off, the finger doesn't function and it's useless, and eventually the flesh dies. In the same way, the heart of God and the life of God flows into your life and into my life through each other. So when we meet together and we talk about God, we are more connected with God because we're connected to God's body, and his love and his truth is meant, God designed us to connect with one another and remind each other of him and his love. So your second daily habit, or habit, is a commitment to community. Guys, I became a Christian way before you all were born. I came to know that I was a sinner and needed a Savior in 1989. And in 1990, I joined a small group, and ever since then, for 30 years, I have been meeting weekly with a group of Christians. Now, that changed from when I was junior high and high school. I had a group. I went to college, I got a new group. Since I've been out of college, I've got a new group. But for the last 15 years, almost 16 years, I've met with the same group of guys, and I'm meeting with them tomorrow morning at 6:45. And my kids know Tuesdays I don't take them to school because I'm meeting with my community group. And if I've been a Christian for 30 years and I still need to be connected to the body of Christ, don't you think you, who have been a Christian much less time than me, also need to meet regularly with other Christians in order to remain connected to the body of Christ the way he's designed us? And habit number three is this: keep short accounts. This is just a callback to forgiveness and amends, and a reminder that when we don't have peace with someone else made in God's image, we don't have peace with God. Let me say that again. When we don't have peace with another person who is made in God's image, we won't have peace with God. When our relationships aren't healthy, our souls aren't healthy. Colossians 3:13 reminds us, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And in Matthew 5, Jesus tells this story of, if you're presenting your sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you remember that someone has something against you, you leave your sacrifice at the altar, you go, you make amends, you be reconciled to that person, then you come worship God. Forgiveness and amends are important, and you don't just do it once when you go through this program. You do it every time someone hurts you, you forgive them. And every time you hurt or offend someone else, you go and you apologize and you ask for forgiveness and you seek to make it right. You keep short accounts. That means all of your relationships, you don't leave a long amount of time between offenses, but you handle them quickly. So these are the three most important habits of spiritually healthy people: daily Bible reading, a commitment to community, and keeping short accounts. So I want to tell you about one more Biggest Loser. This is one of the biggest ones. His name was Patrick, and he was huge, and he lost a ton of weight. Patrick was big, and Patrick lost a lot of weight, but here's a picture of Patrick today, and this is a picture from his Facebook with a caption that read this. I'm going to read the caption. It said, "Oh boy, no turning back now. So excited to run my 9th marathon with Mickey Mouse and a bunch of friends. It's going to be such an amazing day." Yeah, let's hear it for Patrick. So here's why I'm telling you about Patrick. He decided to keep the habits going. He decided to keep the habits going that he learned on The Biggest Loser, and he didn't fall back into his old way of life. Here's another picture of him running the marathon. And this is an incredible quote from Patrick. He said, "Maintenance is tough, but it's not impossible." The habits might be tough, reading your Bible every day, going every single week and meeting with a small group or a community group of people. But every single person in this room, even if it's tough, it's not impossible for you. And you can put these three habits into practice this week. And you must, if you want to continue to experience health and healing in Christ, you must at least do these three things. I don't want you guys to look like Ryan and the other Biggest Losers after this program's over. I want you to stay healthy and growing and strong and be an example and an inspiration to others. When I call you and ask you to share your testimony next semester, I don't want you to tell me I've fallen out of spiritual shape and I probably shouldn't come talk about what God's done in my life. I want you to be healthier and stronger and closer to God than ever before. And I'm telling you, you do these simple little things. You read your Bible every day. You commit to community. And you keep short accounts. You're going to continue to grow. And you're going to continue to become more and more healthy and healed and closer to the Lord. Let me pray that you will, and we'll get you out of here. Lord, I pray that you would help them to do the tough work of maintenance, and I pray that you'd strengthen them, inspire them, hold them accountable, bring community into their life to help them do that. Lord, I pray that they'll remember the example of the Biggest Losers, and they'll remember which one they want to be like and which one they don't want to be like. I pray that you would not confuse any of us in this room with some messed up idea of what our bodies should look like, but we should think about what our souls should look like and what we feel like on the inside. Lord, would you keep us spiritually fit and healthy and help us focus on that more than anything else? Would you help this time where we're discussing this in our rooms be helpful and productive for everybody? In Jesus' name, amen.